Welcome to Dating Log, the podcast that records the ups and downs of dating in your 30s and beyond. This is episode 18, Back in the Game. David made a return to the dating scene in 2020 after being in a relationship and married for 15 years. As you can imagine, the times had changed and so had the technology. One of David's solutions? Use ChatGPT to help you out. This episode is full of dating stories, tips, and wisdom that comes with both age and multiple rounds of dating. Without further ado, here's David.
My name is David. I am 45. I live in Omaha, Nebraska, in the United States. I have been dating for about 4 years now, off and on in two very different go-rounds, I would say. I've typically been dating online. I've also met random people in person, and I've been set up on blind dates with friends.
Wow. Okay. So you've been around the dating fields.
I have. I wouldn't say I'm an experienced dater, though. Like I said, I've had two go-rounds at this. I've generally had very positive experiences. I think the hardest part that I've dealt with is the first time, and we'll jump into this, and this will be exciting and fun, is I didn't understand what I was getting into the first time. And then the second time, I had a much better sense of myself and a much better sense of what I was looking for and that I was ready. But it's definitely a long time and I've been on some dates, but I wouldn't say I'm an experienced dater. Or maybe I shouldn't say I'm an experienced dater.
Can you tell me when was the first round and the second round that you're talking about?
Yeah, so the first round was in like December of 2020. So it was right in the beginning of COVID. Which in Omaha was not the same experience as in other cities. So Omaha didn't shut down. You could actually go, I think the bars shut down for like a week maybe. And then you could go and, I mean, not that I was sitting in bars, but it was right at the end of COVID. And so dating was just getting kicked back off. Certainly online dating and meeting in person. I mean, they had the tables were distanced and things like that, but it wasn't really a hindrance, to be honest. So there was about a 4 month stretch where I thought I was ready to do this and I'd jump back in. And then I realized I wasn't. And I took probably, I don't know, a year and a half off from like really trying to date. I went on some dates and I dated somebody for a little while in between. And then recently, probably maybe 10 months ago, I decided that I'm ready for this. It's something I'm looking for in my life. I want. And so I was a little more purposeful about what I was looking for, a little more purposeful about how I was going about dating, what I did on dates. So it was two very different but fulfilling experiences.
I can imagine. And it sounds like we have lots to dive into, but I do want to get a little bit of background on you for our listeners. Because you mentioned this first round of dating was 4 years ago and you weren't quite ready. So what situation were you coming from?
So I was recently divorced. I got divorced maybe in the summer. So I guess the summer of 2020 and then moved out right around then. And then, I don't know, I'd been in my own apartment for 2 or 3 weeks and I'm like, I think I should date. And so I filled out a Bumble profile and I watched a couple videos on like how to do this and how to make a good profile and put a profile together and then turned it on and saw what happened. And it was I didn't know what I was getting into. It was I was wholly unprepared for the experience. Like my thumbs hurt so bad the first night from texting back and forth with people. I matched with a bunch of people right away and I was pretty liberal on what I was swiping on because I don't know what I was looking for, right? I mean, the dating apps are challenging because you see this picture of somebody and then a write-up of some, you know, stock answers. And it's great. Don't get me wrong. It definitely allows you to filter some very big categories, but you don't really know anything about the person. You don't know if you're going to click. You don't know if you have like a connection with them at all. So it's challenging, right? So, but I matched with a bunch of people right away. And then I had to figure out like, how do you keep these conversations going? I also didn't realize you probably shouldn't have active conversations with like 10 people because it's impossible to keep up with it. It's impossible to remember what conversation, you have to go back and read all the conversations again to make sure, you know, it's like, oh, what do we even talk about? Oh yeah, this is who this is. And so that was, it was challenging and eye-opening and fun. And then I started like trying to set up dates. And it was like with parenting schedules. The one thing about dating post-divorce that I did not realize at all until I got into it was one of the biggest gating factors is, do your kids' parenting schedules line up? And so my parenting schedule, I have my kids half the time. And so what that means is I have my children, and this, it's different for everybody. There's no like way to do this. You have, some people have these like swing parenting plans. So my parenting plan is very straightforward. I have my kids every Wednesday night, Thursday night, and then every other weekend, which is a Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So I have a stretch where I have kids for 5 days and then I'll have them for two. And so it's, and it works. Cause I literally know I'm free every Monday, Tuesday night, and then I'm free every other weekend. And I could tell you those weekends all the way out through like 2035 because they're just in the calendar. Some people have like these parenting schedules that flip flop and then swing parenting schedules. It seems complicated to me. So so finding somebody that even roughly aligns with you, especially on the weekends you do or don't have kids, is really important, because if you're off weekends, you literally can't date because you'll never find time to be together.
Yeah, that sounds difficult.
It is. It's probably the thing I didn't really realize going in. So that first experience, and I was trying to set up dates, and I did, but I realized I was like going on a date like on a Friday night and a Saturday night. And then I would try to like get caught, like I was trying to meet people in person. I think the thing that I did realize about online dating is the quicker you can get together in person, the much better experience it is. If you sit and chat for 2 or 3 weeks, you get to know this person, but you don't really know them at all. And if you haven't found time to get together in like 2 or 3 weeks, it's probably not a good fit anyways. I understand schedules and like, so I get that's not a hard and fast rule by any means, but I did try to find ways to get together. And it was coffee. I tried to like meet people for walks sometimes. The other thing I struggled with dating, especially in that early period, was like, what do you do? Like dinner and drinks is always obviously easy and what most people expect, but you end up going out a lot and you end up drinking a lot and it becomes a little taxing. And I struggled. I still, even in both go rounds, like, what do I do that doesn't involve drinking? Cause I don't mind drinking, but I also don't want to sit and have like, you know, however many beers a night and then do that multiple times a weekend. Yeah. So that was something that I'm not exactly sure what the right answer is. And I don't think I'm the only one that struggles with that. But.
And I want to just take one step back again before I talk more about the dating. How long were you married before you got divorced?
I was married for 12 years before I got divorced.
Okay, so effectively the last time you were dating was in 2008?
Yep. Well, we were together for a couple of years before that. So the last time I was like actually dating was like 2006 probably.
Wow.
2006. So it's definitely been a while. And when I moved out and I was like, okay, I should probably start doing this. It was a little bit intimidating. And I think the thing that was the most intimidating is, how do you meet people? So when you're in college or in your 20s, you meet people like organically through friends of friends. Like I remember living in Chicago. I lived in Chicago for like 12 years. And you'd go on these like pub crawls that your friends would set up. And it was just a big group of people that you didn't know most of them, but they were friends of friends. So it was safe. Or you'd go to like a house party, or like you'd go out and you'd run into people you knew that were with other people. And there was just so many organic ways to meet people. When you're 45 and living in this like little bubble with kids, it's very challenging. The only people that I know are like my neighborhood friends and the friends of my the parents of my kids' friends, right? And it's like, they're all married. So without online dating, I think it would be really difficult to meet people. I think there's also, I think meeting people like just out in public, and we should spend some time on like meeting people in public. I tried that and it was terrible.
I was going to ask, so you went from, let's say in your 20s, just meeting people totally organically through friends, through parties. It's 2006. You meet your ex-partner. You're together for 14 years.
Yeah, 14, 15 years.
Then you get divorced. The dating scene has completely changed. Not only that, you've moved from Chicago, like a bustling urban area, to Omaha, Nebraska. Can you tell the listeners a little bit about what Omaha is like for those who don't know?
Yeah, Omaha is, there's about a little over a million people in the Omaha metro area. So it's a good sized city. It is in the heartland of America. So it's in the middle of nowhere. I think the closest major city is like a 7-hour drive. It is definitely in the middle of cornfields. But living here is actually, it's a really nice city to live in. It's very affordable. There's no traffic. So like the day-to-day quality of life is fantastic in Omaha. There's enough people. Like, I mean, it's like, so there's a million people, and then the vast majority of the people, at least in my neighborhoods, are similar. It's a wonderful place to live. It's a great place to raise family and raise your kids. But it is, you know, in the middle of nowhere. And if you're like in your 20s or 30s looking to date, it's a different experience because the other thing is the divorce rates here are lower than other places in the country. So there's not as many people. And so just as an aside, I did try this. So I travel for work. And so I would be I would have the Bumble app open, and I would land in Chicago, and I would turn the app on as soon as I landed just to see. And I would have like 40 or 50 or sometimes 100 matches in an hour in Chicago. Wow.
It's quite the difference.
In Omaha, I would, you know, have like a couple a week, maybe after you get that first initial, right? There's that first initial match rate, and then it slows down just because you like get to the end of your scroll list pretty quickly.
All right. So the first thing you did was got on Bumble. You watched some videos, learned how to make a profile. Can you recommend any videos? Did you learn any nice tips or anything
good? I don't know if I watched a couple of videos. I would say the things that I think the things that I learned are, one of them is make sure that your profile picture is like a really good picture, and it's you're smiling and approachable. Don't have other friends in the video. Don't use heavy filters. It's really annoying when you see people's heavily filtered videos because you wonder why they chose that picture. If you want to have an action shot, have it doing something outside, but also don't include friends because they don't really know who you are unless it's your picture. I just used kind of a stock work picture. The other thing on profiles, like, you got to be honest. I think authenticity is the key. And I have a fun story about, I can tell you a fun story about that in a little bit. I think the other thing too is to have a very positive tone. Most people are looking for things that are phrased in a positive light, things that excite you about life, avoid negativity. Some of the profiles have these like negative tones to them. You're like, well, I don't want to meet this person.
No, definitely not.
And then proofread it. You see a lot of people with spelling mistakes, which is fine.
No way.
But you see more spelling mistakes than you'd think. And with Bumble in particular, Tinder's a little bit less, but Bumble, they have like some things you can fill out, some like next level questions you can ask or fill out. It's good to maybe add one or two of those just to show that you've cared enough to put time in your profile. Sometimes you see profiles that are like very skinny down, and I would assume they don't do well. And then you definitely use like ChatGPT or one of the other AI tools to help write like your little intro.
People are doing that?
Oh, for sure they do. I definitely did that. It just gives you like, and it's not that I didn't know how to write it. I knew what I kind of wanted to say, but I entered what I put in there, and I had it do prompts on like, write this in a funny tone, or write it in a serious tone, or give me five other ways to write this. And then you kind of use pieces and parts of all of those to put together it. But if you think about like a dating profile, right, and you swipe on it, you see a picture, you see a tagline, and you see like one or two attributes of the person. And some people just stop there and they swipe only on the picture and like the little tagline or attributes. Some people, I usually try to read the whole profile. But so if you really think about like what it takes for somebody to swipe on you, it's no different than like a job interview or a resume. And this is kind of like your resume, right? So how do you put together some sort of resume that's going to get past the algorithm that's going to weed people out immediately? How do you get through that first gating item and get to like a conversation so that you can find out if it's the right person? I definitely spent time on my profile. I don't know if it matters or not, but I feel like it does.
Can you tell me more about, you mentioned authenticity and profiles?
Yeah, I um, so I went on, and this happened a couple times, right? You'd see a profile and you'd start chatting with them, and it was good conversation, and you'd find time to meet, and then you'd meet, and you know, the picture was 7 or 8 years ago, and that you could tell they're just in a different place in life. And so I didn't know that was called catfishing. I didn't realize that. And I was out with somebody one time, and you know, it was a profile from, that was an older profile, older pictures, and definitely didn't represent who they were today. And so I met her for dinner, and we were just chatting, and I always ask people on dates, like, how's the dating world? And hear horror stories about it. And she told me, she stopped and she's like, well, the biggest thing I run into is catfishing. I'm like, what's that? And she explains where it's, you know, older pictures are not authentic profiles. And then you get there and you realize that the person that you're with is not really the person you thought you were with. And I'm thinking to myself, like, but that's what you just did to me. Like, you are, this is, you know, this isn't, you definitely didn't represent an authentic profile, which is fine. And I think the thing about the authentic profiles is, if you're really serious about meeting somebody, you kind of want to say, here's who I am, you know, authentically today, so that they at least, because if you, at least with the way I perceive this catfishing is like, well, I'm going to be disappointed immediately. So how could the date possibly go well? And so, yeah, she was telling me about it and I was kind of laughing. I was like, I obviously didn't say anything to her. I was considering, I'm like, should I give her some tips. But I decided not to. But yeah, so it was a little ironic that she was sitting there telling me about this. I was learning about it in real time with somebody. I think it's an important thing, because if you aren't authentically yourself in these profiles and aren't authentically yourself when you're, getting to know people and chatting, you're gonna struggle with how do you then present your authentic self, and is that really what the person's looking for? And I think one of the things that I've really tried to do is be authentically myself and be very clear about, here's what I'm looking for, so that I can find somebody else that fits with what I'm looking for. I can find somebody else that wants the same things I want. And when you find that, it's fantastic. The journey can be fun and scary, but if you're not authentically yourself, you're not going to find somebody that authentically likes who you are. And the wonderful thing about online dating and the wonderful thing about the time of life that we live in is you can choose to be authentically yourself, and you will find somebody that's your kind of weird, and you will find somebody that allows you to be you. And it's such an amazing experience when you find that. And I think most people maybe don't realize how important it is to go find somebody that does allow you to be you, and you can be yourself with them. I think I heard a great quote one time. I don't remember who said it. It said, you can't say the wrong thing to the right person.
Oh yeah.
And okay. I like that, because sometimes you're like, should I say this? And it's like, well, if they're the right person, yes. And then same thing with like how you dress or what books you're reading or things that you're interested in. You can't say the wrong thing to the right person. And so if you're authentically you, and sometimes people are like, oh, I don't like, you know, sci-fi books, where it looks, okay, great. Well, maybe you and I aren't a good fit. And it really helps you weed out who the right people to be dating are and who's maybe a person that's not a good fit and you should move on from.
That's going on your Instagram quote post.
Probably should.
How were those first few dates in round one? Let's talk about round one first of your dating experience. Yeah, how were they for you? What was going on in your head? What were you feeling? What was the physical toll, the emotional, mental toll? Tell me more.
Yeah. When I first started doing it again, I think I was more excited. I think that's what I thought I should be doing. So I was excited to just get out there and like, I don't know, do it to date. The first couple of days, I enjoy being around people and I enjoy talking to people. So the dates themselves I thought were fun. I also like the experience of eating dinner. And so like the whole eating out experience. So I liked that. So I really enjoyed the dating. The things that I matched with, I don't know, quite a few people right away, because when you turn these profiles on and you're the first, you show up and you're like the new one on everybody's profile. So you match a lot of people right away. I had these text conversations going on with quite a few people, and it was really hard to keep up. And like I said, my thumb started to hurt after like a couple days of texting, but it was fun and exciting and gave you this rush. And it was, I really enjoyed the feeling of it. And then went on dates. The dates were, They ran the gambit. I mean, some of them, like anything else, any other social interaction in life, you run into people that you really connect with, and you run into people that you just don't have, it's just hard to have a good conversation with. And I think that some people are fantastic at holding a conversation over text, and other people are not. And I think the thing, and I don't think I was very good at first, but I remember I was texting with someone and they asked me really good questions, like, how did you choose to spend your day? Like, you can't just answer that with good.
Yeah, yeah.
And it makes you think, like, how did I choose to spend my day? Because those hours of your day are a choice. And so she really changed how I communicated with people, even to this day. There's some like, and so I definitely took things that I appreciated about how other people communicated with me and tried to adapt some of those so that I was a better communicator. So that was one of them. And then on dates, so the actual dating itself, actual dates, I always went to dinner, just because it was like, I didn't know what else to do. I met a couple of drinks, but mostly dinner and drinks. And the dates were good. And so some of the people, I'll put people in two different categories. One of the categories were people that had been in the dating scene for like years.
Okay.
and were struggling meeting people. And then there were more people that were newer to the dating scene that were looking for a relationship. So the people that had been in the dating scene for a long time, they had like this list of like gating questions. And it was like the first 40 minutes of the date were them asking questions, learning about me.
Like an interview.
Like an interview, yeah. But it was which was fine, right? And it was great. And then the people who were like more in the dating scene, they were a little bit, maybe have felt a little more timid about asking some of these questions, because some of them were like very deep questions about who you are, what you're looking for, what your dreams or goals are. Like, I'm not going to ask somebody their goals on the first date. Like, that's not like a date conversation question. But you'd get some of those, right? But so then, and then the people that were just in it, were newly in it and looking for a relationship, those dates were fun, because you'd learn about somebody, you'd have some fun. I would always ask people like, what's it like out there, right? And even in both rounds, I would ask people that, because I thought it was interesting to hear. Like, partly I was curious what they felt fun and what they enjoyed and what was not going well for them. And partly I was curious, like, what else am I competing against? The other thing about online dating is you have no idea what other men are doing or what other women are doing.
That's such a good point.
Yeah. So to that point, one night I texted with somebody, I matched with her, and we were texting, and she had all these questions for me. And I'm like, I stopped her, like, how, like, these are all screening questions. Like, what do you really want to know? And so I don't know exactly, I don't remember what happened after that, but she said that she had been dating for a while. And I made a comment like, I have no idea what I'm competing against, right? Something about my profile. I asked something about my profile, I think, I can't remember. And she's like, well, do you want to meet up for a drink right now and look at each other's profiles? I was like, yeah, yes. This was like 11 o'clock on a Tuesday night. And I'm like, whoa. Sure. So we met up and we traded phones and we just swiped through each other's profiles. And so I got to see like however many male profiles and understand like what guys put in profiles and what guys think is interesting. Oh, and she got to cool. see... So I would highly recommend that anybody that's using online dating, go find a friend of the opposite sex and just look through each other's profiles just to see like what else is out there. And then you also, the other thing that I learned from that is then she told me all the stuff she hates about guys' profiles. Like in Nebraska, a big thing on guys' profiles are fish pics. like that's their like profile picture. One of their pictures is them holding a fish because the outdoors, like people fishing and hunting is a big deal out here.
Okay.
And, like most women like are not impressed with fish pictures. So
but the guys think that they are.
The guys think they are. There's also a surprising amount of shirtless pictures on men's profiles, which
like nice bods or
very few. I would say had nice bodies. So you saw a lot of like, especially the older profiles, like the 40-year-olds, they were like all shirtless pics. It's like, and I'm thinking to myself, like, you think this is going to work? Like, I just don't understand. So maybe at some point you'll talk to somebody that has this picture on their profile just to see like why, because I have no idea. So it was really fun to trade profiles and understand, like, and again, if you think about dating, especially online, they only have a quick snapshot of your headshot and maybe a little bit about profile. So how do you differentiate yourself against everybody else? And so that actually helped me. I've made some minor changes to my profile, particularly with like my little, that little starting phrase, or whatever you call that, like the
like a pickup line for your profile.
Yeah, the pickup line for your profile. That's a good way to call it. I never thought about that way. So I changed that little tagline or the pickup line for your profile that was a little more catchy and a little more like, here's one or two things about me, but written in a funny way because I like to joke around and be sarcastic. So I did it in like a funny way so that if people don't like jokes, then don't swipe on my profile because we're not going to be a good fit together.
I can imagine.
And so that was probably like during that first round of dating, that was probably the one thing that was, that I really like took away. I was like, okay, this is something I just learned from like online dating. And so I highly recommend if you're out there with online profiles, go try to do that because it'll be shocking and eye-opening for you.
That's good advice. And I can imagine it also changes depending on where you are in the world, what the pools are like, what's available. Like you mentioned, just from Chicago to Omaha is a huge difference when you're on the dating profiles. During that first round, did you have any really terrible dates?
I didn't have any terrible dates. I think from what I hear, there's a lot of women have terrible dates because guys are a little creepy and maybe not good at conversation. Most of the women I dated I enjoyed the dates. It was fun to learn about people. Not all of them were great dates, right? I mean, some of them were difficult conversations or you just didn't really like connect. And that's okay. So I didn't have any like terrible dates. I did realize though, one of the things that I found about myself is like, I changed a little bit of who I was or what I would talk about or how I would approach the date depending on who I was with. So I would adapt a little bit to, and I didn't really like that about myself.
This is interesting, an interesting point. Hold on. You're saying that you were changing who you were to fit the person you were going on a date with.
Yeah, I would try to, like in the conversations that we would have, the conversation flow would follow like what they wanted to talk about. And I can have a conversation about most things, right? Like romantic comedies or books or like we can talk about sports, whatever. It's like but I would allow them to lead the conversation and we would talk about whatever they wanted to talk about, which was fine. Except sometimes it was just a conversation that something like, I can have a conversation about this, but I'm not really interested in this at all. And that would primarily, that sometimes would be a large portion of the date would be about whatever this is, right? And I let that happen. And I say it, let it happen partly because I was trying to like have a good date and be a good person to go on a date with, which is important. But at the same time, you also want to make sure that you're expressing things about yourself that you want to test with the other person. Because I mean, the dating is all about like, are we going to be a good fit or not to go hang out? Because that's like, you know, what you're looking for, right? And so I realized that early on that I wasn't very good about making sure that I got things that I want to make sure that I want to talk about in another conversation. And the other thing too, that I learned early in this first round of dating is the people that I swiped on were like definitely interested in a relationship, which was good. I was not looking to like just find somebody to have like a casual experience with. I was looking to try to date. And so you'd have a date and the first dates usually go well. And then all of a sudden it was like you were boyfriend and girlfriend, like going steady, you know, like what you say in high school, right? And for those of you that don't know, in America, going steady means you're like, have agreed that you're exclusively dating. It's like a term from the 50s, I think, right? And you'd all of a sudden be in this like relationship. I'm like, wait a second, we went on like a date and we've talked on the phone once. This is happening really fast. And I didn't realize like how fast you transition from like the first date into like wanting to talk all the time and spend a lot of time on the phone and meet up again. And it was like, I'm not prepared for how fast this is moving.
I can imagine.
It goes quick. But I didn't, I didn't have most of my dates, I didn't have any like terrible dates. But again, I think because like I generally am a fun person to be around and I can have a conversation with anybody. So like the dates would always be fine. Some of them were fine. Some of them were really fun and great. But in talking to them at the date, I would ask how the dating scene's going. And they would have some horror stories about dates they went on, right? With mostly, most of the women have had terrible date stories. Most of my guy friends, I have not had terrible date stories. So I don't know what that means. I'm not sure why, what, maybe it's expectations of the date or how men and women interact is different, right? And you just get the opposite ends of the spectrum on both of those, and clearly that wasn't a good fit. So I think more the bad dates are more about not being good fits. Obviously, creepy things happen on dates and really inappropriate things happen on dates, and that's unfortunate, right? But by and large, I think the bad dates are just not good fits, which is really good to know. It's like, great, that's not a good fit for me. Fine, what, on to the next.
In that first round of dating, were you exclusively using dating apps?
I used, the first round of dating, I started out using exclusively dating apps. But then I started to do this thing where I would be out with my friends and out with their spouses. And, you know, you talk about being divorced, right? Because they know you're divorced. And then, you know, I'd always end it with, hey, if you know anybody that's, I would throw it out there, I'm like, I'm interested, right? Do you know anybody? And no different than like networking for a job, right? You're just like, who else should I be working with? And so I started doing that, and it was great because my friends' wives would set me up. So I went on, I don't know, like 3 or 4 blind dates with people. And again, I'm not like a serial dater. It's not like I've been on hundreds of dates, but yeah, so I went on a couple blind dates with like spouses, friends, and those were usually really good. The problem with those is that, like, the thing I ran into with those most is the parenting schedules didn't line up. Like, you'd get a text and you're like, okay, this is great, and then you realize like your schedules are literally opposite, or you don't have the same weekends, and it's like we can't even date. But I did. I started doing the just throwing it out there, like, hey, if you know anybody, and it worked really well because. When you ask people for help and you're very specific about what you're asking for help for, people usually want to try to be helpful. And everybody has single friends. You could tell, like, sometimes you could tell that they're thinking, they're like going through the list of single friends and you're like, nope, not good. And you could tell they were self-selecting, like, are you going to be a good fit for them or not? So not everybody tried to match me, but enough people did where, you went on dates. I think I liked the online dating though better, I think, because it allowed me to self-select. Whereas if you're letting your friends do it, like you realize they don't know you well. And so your friends' wives especially don't know you very well. And so they're setting you up with somebody and it's like, that wasn't a good fit at all.
What made you decide to stop dating in this first round? You said you weren't ready, but what was it that made you realize that?
With the first round of dating, I think that, so I went on a bunch of dates. I met some wonderful women. I had fun. I think what it really highlighted for me though, was that I wasn't ready to be like a serious boyfriend. I wasn't, and I didn't want to just casually date that. It's really hard to casually date because it's just like, how do you keep something going? And most people are looking for a relationship. So I wasn't ready. I think personally, I wasn't ready to be in a relationship. And so, one night I was sitting around and I had like, there was like, I don't know how many active profiles I had, or I have active matches I had. And I had been on a couple dates and like those people were texting me about like setting up second dates. And I'm like, I can't do this right now. I just like, I wasn't ready. And I think part of it was the excitement of like, okay, I'm on my own. I should be doing this. And I started, but then as I got into it, I realized like physically, emotionally, I wasn't ready to be a like in a relationship. And so I didn't ghost anybody. That's the other thing. Ghosting is terrible. Like it takes 2 seconds to send a text to say, hey, like this isn't a good fit or this isn't going well or whatever it is, whatever you can like at ChatGTP, how do you tell somebody over a date one sentence that I don't want to have a second date? But to ghost people is terrible, right? And it takes 2 seconds to because you don't want to be ghosted either. So I made sure I reached out to everybody. I'm like, hey, this is like, you know, this is, I'm not ready for this. But I realized like I wanted to be in this for the right reasons, and I wanted to be a good partner for whomever. I wanted to be engaged in this. And so I decided to pause and just take, and I took like 2 years off and focused more on like myself. And I like went and golfed a lot and hung out with my friends and spent, and I really, how do I, like, I was now a parent of children. And so I wanted to be with my kids. And like, I just checked out of like that part of my life and really focused on the other parts of my life. And it was a fantastic experience and a journey. And I loved every minute of it. And I really enjoyed the fact that, I think the things that I really enjoyed were, you have no responsibilities. And I for single people that have not been married and without kids, this probably won't make sense. It will at some point in your life if you get down that path. But like when you're married with kids and you go run an errand, you feel like you have to be back. You feel like you have to, like, I need to do this quickly so that I can be back because whatever's going on at the house. After you move out, when your kids are with their mom and you go run an errand, you realize there's no responsibilities. You don't have to be anywhere. You can like check out of life and you can just like walk around and do nothing. And it's this wonderfully amazing freeing experience. And I started to feel that. And then I went on these dates and then it's like, well, how do we get a second date? And I'm like, there's no time for me. And so I just said, I'm not ready for this. So I paused. It was like 2 years. Now I did date somebody in between those 2 years. So I took like a hiatus entirely from like online dating and trying to meet people. Like I'd met somebody and we kind of casually dated for like probably a year. It wasn't real serious. We were both kind of in the same spot where like we enjoyed being with everybody and there wasn't anybody else that I was dating, but I also didn't like go out of my way to spend as much time with her as possible. But I just wasn't ready for it. I didn't want to be, people wanted to move so quickly. And I realized that I'm not ready to move quickly.
What do you think that is about people wanting to move quickly?
I think because they're ready. And a lot of people that are on dating sites want to be there. It's a choice, right? And so they're ready to be there. And whatever they're looking for, some people are looking for companionship, some people are looking for actual relationships, some people are looking to just, you know, spend time. And, you know, there's definitely a hookup culture in this. And so there's people there for different reasons. But I guess I was matching with the ones that were looking for relationships, because everybody that I met was like, okay, let's move to the next. And I'm like, I'm not ready for this. And I met some great people, to be honest. And like, in fact, one of the women that I went on dates with, I told her I'm not ready to do this. And when I got back in, when I decided that I am ready to do this, I called her and I was like, you want it? Like 2.5 years later, she's like, who are you?
Seriously?
I was like, ah, we went a couple dates like 3 years ago. I really liked her. Yeah, we definitely went on dates. And I realized like, she's like not, there was like, like I went over to her house a couple times and I just like I realized it wasn't a good fit. She's great, right? She was great and fun. There was just some stuff that like not a good fit for me. I reached in deep into my phone and pulled that out. It was funny because she didn't remember me. She did eventually, like when I was like, oh, we were on these days. She's like, oh yeah, okay, I better, my name didn't pop up. So
that was
kind of funny. And I'd never really like, I'd never done that before. So I definitely went out on a limb to do that.
So that's how you kicked off round two. Tell me more about round two. How was that now that you were ready?
So round two was a much different experience. So I was ready. And part of what it meant to be ready is like, I was at a place in life where like things were like, I was ready to have somebody else in my life. I was ready to go, I'd have some shared experiences. And so I turned on a Bumble profile again and I went and updated it and then started the process over. And I also was like very purposeful about reaching out to a couple people that had friends. I knew I was ready, I think, because as I would go like out into the world, I would be like, oh, I could totally like, I should go on a, I would totally go on a date with that person. I was like thinking about it. I was thinking about dating. And so I was ready. And so I turned on profile and then started going on dates. And if I can compare the two experiences, like because I was ready to be in it and I knew why I was there, it made it a lot easier to I enjoyed the experience more, I think, because I was looking for something. I wasn't just out there like exploring. I was looking. It's very different when you're just like wandering around versus when you have a goal in mind. And the other thing is, because I'd lived through it, I understood things that I liked and things that I didn't like. Right. So I had a much better, I reflected on, and I like kept a journal of like, you know, I took notes and I like paid attention to the things that I liked. And I like tried to be purposeful about learning about myself throughout this experience. And so that I could, like, I knew what I liked. Like, just to give you an example, when I first started dating, I was like, you know what, I'm gonna be very open about this. I think I know what I like in a partner, but I don't know because I haven't really, I don't know. So I was very I'd go on dates with anybody. I was pretty loose about the type of person I swipe with. There was like one or two gating items. I'm like, no, I'm not a good fit with somebody that's very religious. And there's a political side in America, there's like two. So there's one, I'm like, I can't date somebody that's on that side. it's just not a good fit. We're definitely just, not that there's anything wrong. It's just that we're not
yeah, you're balance. Not compatible.
Yeah, not compatible. And so those are the two easy gating items.
Okay.
So the second time I was much more purposeful about that. I was in this looking for a relationship, and so it was a fun experience. And like, I enjoyed the experience. I enjoy going on dates. I enjoy meeting people, having conversations. And it was, so I liked it. I think the dates themselves evolved as well. Like how I would approach the dates evolved. Before I would just go and like meet people and see where it went. And this time, like, I wanted to learn about them. I wanted to, but I also wanted to like listen and be a good, like, just to see, like, I realized I do like to talk about my work. So finding somebody that I could talk about my work with was important. I also realized like, I couldn't date somebody in the medical profession. I'm not sure why. I just like never had good conversations with like the types of things they deal with in life. I didn't want to like talk about. So there were some things that I learned by going that first round and paying attention to it and being purposeful about like, okay, why didn't I like that? Or what am I looking for? That was very helpful in my, next round.
Is there something that you learned about yourself while going on dates, like on a, let's say, like growth level, emotional or mental growth?
Yeah, I would say one of the things I did learn, I think, and this is maybe, I don't know if this was from dating or if this was from like reflections on, a failed marriage, but or like a failed relationship. But I think I'm like much more compassionate towards other people and what they're dealing with, and like learning about why. And I think that was something that I maybe wasn't great at prior in life, but I'm very purposeful about that now. And like when I go on a date, I try to like listen and be present and be interested. And by doing those things, by actively making sure that I'm doing those things, it helps me realize like, am I interested in this person or not? Because if I'm like fully paying attention and I'm not interested, or there isn't a connection, that's like, okay, I know that. But if I go into the date and I am fully interested and I am paying attention and I do like the conversation, I do like being with this person, and I do have like, you know, the pheromone connection or whatever it is, then I know that it was a good date because I was fully present. I think learning about myself, like being the compassionate and being present and paying and listening, I think are something that I was like really trying to be purposeful about that I didn't. And the thing is, like, I heard a lot of, so like the second round, I always got second dates, always wanted people to like go on a date with me, like continue to follow up. Part of it was because I think I was a little bit better at selecting who I should go on dates with. So I'm like, and then the second was, I think on the dates, I was like, I'd pay attention and I was like, we would laugh and like, it was always good dates. Right. Which made it a little challenging because that's like, how do you know when the right time to move on with, to continue to date this person than like maybe not that person? Or like, how do you decide like this is the person? I think that was the hardest part, is you're dating people and you're like, I like things about this person, I like things about that person. And I think the thing that really opened my eyes, I did meet somebody recently, and like they were just such a better match for me, such a different person than the other people I was dating. That was like, it was so obvious once you found it. It made me like question, like, is this the right person? Almost like a, like, I shouldn't have even been asking that, because clearly I hadn't experienced that before. And once you find it, you're like, this is like such a different experience than being with somebody that doesn't align in so many ways with me.
I want to talk a little bit more about how your dates are going now, because you mentioned that you met someone recently and it just feels different. What was the first date you went on with this person?
So one of the things I used to do on dates.
Yeah.
Let me talk about dates for a second. I'll
please
circle
do.
Back to this question. So when I would go on dates, we would do dinner and a movie, and then it's like, how do you end a date?
Right. Good question.
Like, what happens? What happens when the date's over? So I researched this, and I guess on Instagram video or something like that. And so what I would do is I would give the people three options. It was like, do you want to just end the date now and go home? Do you want to like continue the conversation at like a local bar? And I obviously have like a local bar picked out. Or there was like a secret option three that was like something either where we were at or related to something I like to do, which was challenging to find sometimes. Like, it'd be like, sometimes you like mini golfing or like whatever. So it was like, go for a walk around there's a lake in Omaha that I like to walk around. So it was like things like that. So you give the people options and see where it goes. And that was always great. It worked out really well. And the vast majority of people would choose the bar to continue the conversation, which again is like, goes back to like, how do you have dates without drinking? It's really hard. I don't know.
It's such a socially, culturally accepted thing to do.
Yeah, it's really hard. I don't know how to do it. I don't know how you date without that being a part of it. And it's also really expensive. I think in 1 month period, I spent like over $1,000 on dinners and drinks on dates. Yeah, it's very expensive because you have like men pay on the first date, right?
What is that? Why?
I don't know. Some people ask to split, right? Very few people expected it.
Yeah,
I would say, or at least they offered. Which was nice, right? And I always paid though for whatever reason. I don't know. Maybe I should have just split. I don't know. So first dates are typically like go to dinner and then potentially drinks afterwards. The other thing that I would try to do too is have like a phone call if I could. And several of the women I dated actually recommended like, hey, we should talk on the phone before we meet. I'll just meet somebody randomly. I don't need to talk on the phone. But sometimes it's nice because you can like, you can have a conversation pretty quickly. Like, this probably wasn't a good fit for me. You can tell on a phone call if like you want to go on a date with them. So if you are like that, that is an easy way to select without going on a date and spending the time or effort actually meeting somebody. Dating somebody now, our first date was dinner. So it was a typical date, which drinks afterwards, but we had spent so much time chatting and talking on the phone that like when we met, it was like we had been dating for a while.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It was
cool.
I try to meet people really quickly if you match and you have a good connection. Because if you do, again, you're like, you have to do that, one, because you're not the only person that they've matched with and they're having conversation with. So you want to like try to meet, because if you don't, they're going to go meet somebody else. And then they might ghost you, or you might not have a chance to ever meet them. So you got me pretty quick. So I was trying to like set something up, but it was right around Christmas. And so like the holiday schedule and the kids schedule. And then I was in New York for a couple of days. And so like, there was this, it was like 2 weeks before from the time that we first started talking, or finally first started like texting before we met in person. And it was like the longest 2 weeks ever. By the time we actually met, it was like we knew each other really well from the conversations we'd had. We'd been on the phone a couple of times, and you just knew, like, you knew that they were going to laugh at your jokes, and you knew that they were going to be fun to be with. But they were a little different in person than they were over the phone. Not in a good way or bad way, just different, right? Different than I expected.
Yeah, you had an expectation.
I did. But yeah, no, but so we had went on a dinner and got a drink afterwards, and it was so much fun. It was great to like be with them because you knew that it was going to be a good connection.
That's cool. I like this idea of having a phone call first. I did have someone last season mentioned, you know, sending a voice memo can save you a lot of time because you can tell a lot about a person by how they speak and what they sound like and what they have to say. And I can imagine, yeah, I think that's great advice. Have a chat on the phone, see how it goes.
It's low level of commitment. It's super easy to do. And you learn so much about somebody in a 20-minute conversation about whether you'd be a good fit. You gotta be ready to close it though. If you're gonna do that, you gotta be ready to like, okay, when are we either not, or how do you move on?
Yeah. How do you move on? How do you close it? Do you have any tips for people? Because this is also something that a lot of people struggle with.
Like to end?
Yeah, like to end. Like if you've gone on one date or two date, or you have a phone call and you think, no, actually this is not for me.
Yeah, that's what I say. I because again, everybody's in this trying to figure out what's like, find somebody that's a good fit for them. And I just like, and so it's hard, right? I went on a date with somebody and the date was fine. I liked her enough, but I didn't want to like move on with her. And she was like very persistent and was like very, very aggressively trying to figure out how to like meet up with me again. And I just had like, it's so easy and freeing to just be honest, not like mean, but just like, this isn't a good fit. Or I'm going to continue to date. And if you really are unsure, you can go ask ChatGPT again and it'll give you like 10 options and you can pick the one that fits the best for the situation. But you should do it so that there's closure. You should, because if you don't say it, people wonder and they're like, what happened? And then you're like, for some people in the back of their mind, they're like, I didn't end that, right? And it might bother them for 2 or 3 weeks. So it's so much easier and so freeing to just say like, I don't want to do this. And then you never have to think about it again.
Agree. It sounds so easy when you say it that way. Just tell them no thanks.
Just tell them no thanks. And that's not a good fit. Because ultimately it is about fit, right? If you really think about all this, it's trying to find again, like your type of weird or whatever you're looking for in a spouse or a partner. And they're out there, right? I think that's the thing, is if you're authentically yourself, you'll find somebody that's like you. If you're not authentically yourself, you'll find somebody that's not like you. And if you find somebody that's not like you, that just means you're not a good fit. And that's the same. Like if you're dating somebody for a couple months and then they end it, like not a good fit.
Yeah.
That's good.
That's it.
Great. Now, like what's next, right? And I know it's easy for me to say that, but it's a good approach in life, just because like this is a challenging, hard time. And if you have expectations and you approach it with the wrong mindset, it's really hard. It can be really hard.
I want to start wrapping up with the last few questions. So first question, what do you find the most enjoyable about dating?
I think the most enjoyable for me is meeting new people and having fun shared experiences. I really enjoyed that. Like the conversations at dinner and things were fun and great. And I think, and it's exciting. There's like a level of excitement, I guess. It's probably, maybe I'm going to change my answer. I think it's that level of excitement that you get when you know that you like somebody and you're going to go meet them on a date and you get to go see how it goes. There's this like unknown, like it's a little bit of a rush. And I liked that.
Cool. On the opposite end of that spectrum, what do you find the most frustrating about dating?
I think the most frustrating thing is like, especially with online dating. So I paid for like, I did this early on. I did this a couple of years ago. So for all of you, I'm going to give some advice, but it may not be financially sound advice these days. I was able to get like the Bumble, like lifetime, whatever, like premium for like $100. And it was great to see who was swiping on me. But it was frustrating at the same time. So it's like, these aren't anybody that I'm interested in, but it was also interesting to see, right? And to know. And I think that, so the hardest thing is just like the process of finding somebody that's worthy of meeting up with and like spending your time with.
Yeah, it takes a lot of time and effort.
Yeah, I spent like $1,000 one month going on dates, and the time that I've spent chatting with people and the effort, it is, you have to, if you purposeful about it, you have to go put in the time and effort.
Yeah, definitely. And the last question, do you have any advice or words of wisdom you'd like to leave our listeners with?
Yeah, I do. I think everybody's journey is different. I hope some of the things that I talked about today are helpful. But I think tactically, just get it good at being on a date. Get good at how do you have conversation with somebody you don't know. One of the things I use is there's this framework called FORD, which is family, occupation, recreation, and dreams. You can always talk about one of those four things. And it's really easy to have somebody, you can ask those categories and they talk about themselves. People love talking about themselves. So if you want a really good date, just have them talk about themselves the whole time. It'll be a great date for them. I think the other thing is like, consider paying for the premium of some of these services. It's like the cost of a date. But if you're really in this, you're going to learn about who's swiping on you, and like you get some advantages of like being in the scene. So I think that's one. And then lastly, like, go figure out a way to go find who you're competing against and how you're going to stand out and differentiate yourself in this dating pool, because it's really complicated. I think just from like an overarching thing, like I said earlier, you can't say the wrong thing to the right person. And so if you don't stress over the text you're going to send, stop stressing over like what you're wearing and advocate for yourself, and you're going to land in the best relationship. And I think, you know, lastly, like, don't be upset if it doesn't work, because all that means is you weren't a good fit for each other. And so go find somebody that's a better fit for you. And then be open-minded, because what I thought about what I wanted was different than what it really was after I got in it and was like, tried it. I was like, okay, this is different. And I think being open-minded about what you like and what you maybe didn't realize you liked, I think is important.
Dating Log is recorded and hosted by me, Wyndham Juno. It is produced by Harry Dart. Our artwork is in collaboration with Esme Hemming Studio. Season 2 is in full swing, so if you'd like to be on the show or know someone who could do with a Dating Log intervention, then send us a message. You can DM us on Instagram at Dating Log Podcast or email us at datinglogpodcast@gmail.com. Our website is datinglogpodcast.com. Please like and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And if you're feeling really generous, leave us a review. We'll be back in 2 weeks with a fresh episode. In the meantime, please don't ghost us.